Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home. Text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidhaya Krityam Hradini Jalapluta. Vidhaya Krityam Hradini Jalapluta. Dattvodakam Bratudarakamanaha. Dato da kambra tu da da kamana. Natva divistam stridasam stripartitya. Natva divistam stridasam stripartitya. Viveshavanim dhyayati bhratripado. Viveshavanim dhyayati bhratripado. Vidhaya krityam hridani jalapluta. Dattva da kamratu dada karmanaha. Natva divistam striyadam striparitya. Viveshavanim dhyayata dayati bhratripado. Vidhaya krityam hridani jalapluta. Dattva da kamratu dada karmanaha. Natva dvivistam stridasam striparitya. Viveshavanim dhyayati bhratripado. Vidhaya krityam hridani jalapluta. Dattva da kamratu dada karmanaha. Natva divishtam stridasam striparitya. Viveshavanim dhyayati bhratripado. Vidhaya krityam hridani jalapluta. Dattva da kamratu dada kamanaha. Natva dvistam stridasam stribartitya. Vidhaya krityam hridani jalapluta. Dattva da kamratu dada karmanaha. Natva divistam stridasam striparitya. Niveshavanim dhyayati bratripado. Vidhaya krityam hridani nidhlapluto. Dhatho dekam vartur nidhika. Natva divistam. Ladies, Vidhaya Krityam Hridani Jalapluta Bodhakam Rartu Dara Karmana Natva Divistam Stridasham Stripaditya Veshavanim dayati pratripato vidhaya executing krityam the regulative function radhini in the water of the river jala apluta taking bath completely dattva Udakam, offering oblations of water. Bhartu, of her husband. Udara Karmanaha, who was so liberal. Natva, offering obeisances. Divistan, situated in the sky. Tridashan, the 30 million demigods. Three times. Pritya, circumambulating. Vivesha, entered. Vanim, the fire. Dhyayati, while thinking of. Bhartri, of her husband. Pado, the two lotus feet. Translation. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire and, while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered its flames. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The entrance of a chaste wife into the flames of the pyre of her dead husband is known as sahagamana, which means dying with the husband. This system of sahagamana had been practiced in Vedic civilization from time immemorial. Even after the British period in India, this practice was rigidly observed, but soon it degraded to the point that even when the wife was not strong enough to enter the fire of her dead husband, The relatives would force her to enter. Thus, this practice had to be stopped. But even today, there are still some solitary cases where a wife will voluntarily enter the fire and die with her husband. Even after 1940, we personally knew of a chaste wife who died in this way. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram. So, we see that the queen of Maharaj Prithu is now performing the funeral ceremony of her husband. And after offering oblations and taking bath, she worshipped or offered obeisances to the various demigods. And then she circumlanded, ambulated the fire and entered into its flames. So another word for this, besides the word mentioned here, sahagamana, is the sati rite. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, this was a practice. Ladies would, out of a deep attachment for their husbands, enter into the funeral flames, the pyre, the funeral pyre. This was not mandatory. It was not compulsory. It was something that was voluntary. But then, due to the compulsion on the widows to enter into the fire of their husband, it became degraded, right? The concept is that the wife is so attached to the husband that she can't conceive of living without her husband. But then it was still being practiced, and even forcefully, ladies were thrown into the funeral pyre with their husband. And some time, maybe 70 or 80 or 100 years ago, during the British rule, this became illegal. But as Prabhupada mentions in his experience, even after 1940, we personally knew a chaste wife who died in that way. But even as recent as 1988, there was a lady called Roop Kanwar, who decided that her young husband, who had died of some disease, she would also enter into the funeral pyre. And she voluntarily did that in Rajasthan, right? So we see here that this is the path chosen by Archi, the queen of Prithu Maharaj. She decided to do this to follow her husband. She knew that her husband had faithfully served Krishna, and therefore he was fit to be followed. And this is the standard, that the husband and wife they cooperate together, not for the purpose of sense gratification, but for the service of Krishna. This is real Grihastha Ashram. The concept that the husband is the enjoyer of the wife, or that the wife is the enjoyer of the family, this is all a material concept. Real, and that increases the false identification in this material world. And such persons are known as Griheshu Grihamedinam. There's a Grihastha and a Grihamedi. If one is in household life, practicing Krishna consciousness, associating with devotees, trying to make one's home a place where Krishna consciousness is practiced, then that's Grihastha Ashram. But if one is simply interested in economic development, sense gratification, right, then this is the, this will increase the reason that we're here in this material world. Krishna creates this material world as Krishna's energy. And he makes this material world for two reasons. The first reason is that it gives the opportunity for the living entities to practice Krishna consciousness, to perform devotional service. It gives conditioned souls an opportunity to serve Krishna. And then the other reason is it creates the material world for those living entities that choose to forget him, to choose to ignore him, and try to be separately happy. So he creates the material world, and in the material world, there's this, the living entities have this concept that they will be happy or that they can enjoy here. And they work very hard for that. So that's the two reasons that Krishna creates this material energy. Those persons who do not awaken and understand about devotional service or what this human form of life is meant for, they remain in ignorance. And they remain struggling in this material world, trying to conquer over or manipulate the material energy for their enjoyment. And no matter how hard they try, no matter how much effort they put into it, in the end, it's all frustration. Because, I mean, the underlying principle is totally frustrating. Think about it. One works very hard to accumulate so many different things, so many different upadis, or false designations. People are very much interested in designations. PhD, MA, BE, BS. But it's all BS. Because it's not our real identity. It's not us. It's just something illusory, temporary. And at some point, the living entity has to leave that also. When the living entity is forced out of this material body, can he take his PhD, MA, B.Ed., B.S., B.A.? No. It's all left behind. The living entity's struggle to accumulate wealth, it's all left behind. So everyone has at least this subtle understanding that I am going to have to leave this. I'm not eternal. this is not going to last. Of course, grossly, they act as if it's going to last forever. They make their house very strong, right? Like as if they're going to live in it eternally, bricks and steel. But no, they can't stay there. So this is one of the most frustrating things. Now, how the living entity chooses to deal with this, you know, depends upon their level of intelligence, or it depends upon the mercy of Krishna. Some persons choose to deal with it by ignoring that frustrating idea. They just try to absorb themselves in their work. Work is worship, they say. Right? Work is worship. So just work hard, and that will liberate you. Right? So such types of persons don't have so much intelligence. Another person realized the frustration of just working hard and one day having everything lost, taken away, right? So they choose to take shelter of some intoxication, right? Therefore, we see the bars are increasing day by day. New bars, you know, family restaurant and bar. What's family about a bar? Nothing. But a family restaurant and bar. Right? Because people are, they're trying to find shelter from this frustrating principle. So they become intoxicated. And different types of intoxications are there. Another type of person realizes it's frustrating, so they deny, right? They deny this existence of the world. They say it's false, and therefore they're not going to participate in sense gratificatory pursuits, and they're going to find out what's spiritual. And their method of that is to negate that's everything in the material world. This is not spiritual, this is not spiritual, this is not spiritual. Neti neti. So that eventually they come to the conclusion of what is spiritual. But this process is also not 100% sure. And there are many pitfalls. And many times, persons that are following this path, they imagine that they're on some platform that they're not on. There's actually some persons that maintain that now they've realized that they are Mahavishnu. And that they're controlling the universe. Right? And that they're entering every atom. They imagine this. This is just their vivid imagination. And for these persons who imagine that they're self-realized, but they're really not, we see that they take to mundane welfare activities, such as opening hospitals, right? Doing welfare or relief work. Because whatever realization they have, they're not able to maintain it. And therefore they come down again to these ordinary mundane activities. So, the other path that one can take is the one that's recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the process of devotional service. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And devotional service begins with Shravanam. Shravanam Kirtanam. Which results in Vishnu Smaranam. Remembering Krishna. This process is the sure method. Especially in this age that we live in. for attaining the highest, the Shreya Uttamam, the highest goal of life, and that is love for Krishna. Devotional service is the process whereby which we can reestablish our lost relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prithu Maharaj was no ordinary person, because King Vena had created havoc in the world. So he personally came down as an empowered devotee, an empowered incarnation to set things right. And he did so many wonderful things, always keeping in mind that his foremost duty was to protect the citizens. Protect the citizens. And he protected the citizens, also he protected his family and wife. But then he showed the example also. Right? Certainly as a self-realized soul and empowered incarnation, he could have stayed in his kingdom. And certainly his citizens would have been happy with that. But he chose not to. He chose not to. At a certain age, when he saw that his body was becoming older, he went to the forest. He went to Tapovan. Right? And there he performed austerities. Severe austerities. In the heat of the summer, he would build a fire. In the freezing winter, he would enter into a river. And his wife, the queen, she had a very delicate form, not used to such austerities, and she went along with him, right? Because she was feeling as though they were one unit in their endeavors. And although a forest is not suitable place to live for the queen, still she went and participated in all the austerities, and she was happy doing it. And she was happy doing it. Now, in this day and age, it may not be possible to perform such severe austerities, right? Previously, people would leave their village or their city and live in the forest, because in the forest it's conducive to the mode of goodness. Right? The city is conducive to the mode of passion, getting things done, rushing here and there. But it also has its drawbacks, because in the city you'll find drinking establishments and brothels, and living in these places is compared to living in the mode of ignorance. It brings out the mode of ignorance. So certainly, sattva-gun over passion and ignorance is very good, right? Because only from the mode of goodness can one progress further. But then above all these is living in the abode of the Lord. That place where the Lord is the center of attraction. And that is living in the temple. Right? Just like here in Juhu, we have Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari Mandir. So the center of the attraction of all the devotees is Radha Rasbihari, Gornitai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Everything is offered to them. Nice flower garlands, right? And everyone, no matter how opulent we worship Radha Rasbihari, everyone becomes satisfied with that. Everyone becomes happy. Right? Because that's natural. Krishna is the Adi Purusham, the original enjoyer. And everyone is meant to cooperate with his enjoyment. So living in a temple is transcendental. It's beyond sattva-gun. But when we say living in a temple, we mean having the consciousness that everything I do should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, you can live in a temple and be in Maya completely and totally also. If you think, I'll come to Krishna's temple and improve my economic condition, this is nonsense. This is not the reason to come to Krishna's temple. This is offensive mentality. Of course, it's better than the non-devotees who don't come to Krishna for anything. They think they're better than Krishna. And they'll do everything themselves. Why do I need Krishna? By my own power, I will get money. Right? But to come to Krishna's temple, in the beginning, okay, maybe you have some desire. Artho, jignasho, atorthi, gyanicha, bharatarshaba. You maybe have some desire. But how long will we stay on that platform? How long will we foolishly come to Krishna asking for all these insignificant things? Give me money, marry my daughter, help me pass the test. Right? They're all material things. It's like coming to a king, right, who has a huge treasury. He has a huge treasury. And you come to the king and say, my dear king, please, please benedict me. And because of a humble mood, the king says, okay, what do you want? So the king has so much. But you ask, my dear king, give me a 50 paisa coin. Right? Isn't that foolish? You beg the king, okay, he says, what do you want? I want a 50 paisa coin. Wouldn't you think that person is foolish? No brain at all? Huh? So in the same way, we're coming to Krishna's temple. We're putting on tilak, kantimala, and japamala. And we're coming before the Lord. And what can He give us? He can relieve us of our material attachments. He can give us freedom from our material desires. He can have our good qualities become prominent and our bad qualities become diminished. He can. But we should want that. We should come before Him and supplicate ourselves that on my own I cannot do anything. It's up to you. I need your help. We shouldn't remain on the initial stages of coming to Krishna consciousness, being inquisitive, being in distress, coming to Krishna with some desire for wealth. That's not what it's all about. We should wake up at some point. Huh? The devotee knows, as long as I have a material body, distress is going to be there. So why should I bother Krishna for that? It's going to be there anyway. Why should I bother Krishna for any insignificant thing? Rather, I should plead with Krishna. I should request Him to free me from all my hankerings for sense gratification. and request Him to purify my consciousness so that the only thing that I want is Your devotional service. Your service. Sometimes people think, I will go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada mentions this. I will go to Vrindavan. Right? And I will stay in Vrindavan. And these persons, they take all the money out of their bank account, right? And they give it to their sons and their family members, right? They give everything they own to their family, and then they go to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada says, oh, do you think that Krishna is so fool? Huh? You came to Vrindavan empty-handed with only your bead bag? And everything is back there with your family? Krishna sees everything, what you're giving. Of course, Krishna is most pleased when he sees that his devotee is thinking of him and making an effort to think of him. And that's the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, again and again. If in our activities, whatever they are, if we think of Krishna, if we meditate on Krishna and Krishna's devotees, then we won't have any problem at all. If we're in the temple or outside the temple, it really doesn't matter if we think of Krishna. The facility of the temple is meant to help us think of Krishna. But that doesn't mean outside the temple one can't keep one's mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Just see, Archie was so fixed on the feet of her husband that she could enter in the fire and not even notice the flames. That's real meditation. But we should be striving or working towards that goal of being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. And the chief method in this age, the chief austerity that one can perform is to follow the four regulator principles and to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And if we chant purely, and if we recognize the wrong consciousness and try to eliminate it, then we can come to the same platform of fixation on nothing else but the Lord and the Lord's service. This should be our goal. This should be our effort. How to attain it. Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity through the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. That's what this movement is meant for. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Or any comments? Corrections?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes?
Prabhuji, thanks a lot for your skipless explanation. So, Prabhuji, you emphasize that in your explanation that material education is biased. Means, if a person, means Srila Prabhupada, when he started the movement, he had chosen high profile people like you people. He had a strong desire that to accelerate his movement. So, in our ISKCON, so we are seeing that high profile people, highly educated people, they can rotate. Whatever you people are already had. Srila Prabhupada built 108 temples. Right now, ISKCON having 500 because of you people, because he had chosen the highly educated people. So, but you emphasize that material education is biased.
Yes, material education is biased. Material education is about sense gratification. It's all about sense gratification. That's material education. Why do people go for higher studies? Why do people go for higher studies? Because they are interested to get a diploma or get a degree or a postgraduate degree or whatever. Why? Because they feel with that they'll be able to earn more money. And if they earn more money, then they can enjoy better sense gratification. That's what material education is about. But the education in Krishna consciousness is something different. The education in Krishna consciousness is acquiring knowledge for the purpose of understanding our real position, understanding our relationship with Krishna, and establishing that relationship with Krishna. That's the purpose of real knowledge. Materialistic knowledge is always changing. And they're not very successful anyway in their efforts. They're working harder and harder, and they're learning more and more, but they're enjoying less and less. When people didn't have so much information, when they didn't have the information highway, the internet, were they also eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Huh? Yes, simply they were doing. Now with the information highway, internet, so much information processing into the brain, people can't even sleep at night. They're so disturbed. Huh? They can't even enjoy the simple pleasures of life. They don't have time. This is materialistic life. This is the result of materialistic education. So everyone has the opportunity, whether they're educated or not educated, it doesn't matter, to chant Hare Krishna. If you can read the books, that's very good. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read the books. One time in Mayapur, during a Bhagavatam class, it was a Mayapur festival, Srila Prabhupada said very, very strongly, he said, these books are not just for selling. They're also for reading. Why am I taking so much trouble? In order to translate the book, Srila Prabhupada would take rest at 9 o'clock and he'd get up about 12 and he'd sit in his room and he would translate the Bhagavatam till like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So while everybody else was asleep, Srila Prabhupada was working. He said, so why am I taking so much trouble? These books are also for reading. Because by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you may chant Hare Krishna, but you'll be able to understand why you're chanting Hare Krishna. And you'll be able to explain that to other people also. You'll be able to defend yourself when somebody asks you why you're chanting Hare Krishna. And then Krishna consciousness will automatically spread. For every one person who becomes convinced, 10, 15, 20 people by his association can become convinced. And Krishna consciousness can spread like that. But we should be convinced. We should be convinced that this life is not meant for enjoyment. Then we're getting the benefit. And then we can benefit others. But if we stay on the platform that somehow or another I'll enjoy inside Krishna consciousness or outside Krishna consciousness, we're cheating ourselves. And we're not giving the opportunity to other people to become benefited. Is that okay?
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. It is recommended that one should leave his physical body in Vrindavan. Some reason, one person doesn't reside in Vrindavan at the time of leaving the body, but remembers Vrindavan at the time of leaving the body. Will that not be considered as leaving the body in Vrindavan itself?
I don't know. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, you can't buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. So does that mean that just because you bought a ticket on the train to go to Vrindavan, you're in Vrindavan? Certainly, if you understand what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then you'll know the answer to your question. And Krishna says, whoever thinks of me at the time of his death, he comes to me. If you think about your family, then you stay back with your family. And according to your karma, you'll take some position there. You know, you might be the grandchild of one of your family members, or you could be the family cockroach in a drawer somewhere, a sola, with the family. Or you may think of the demigods, and then you'll go to the demigods. Just like in this example, we see that Prithu Maharaj and Archie were going out on planes, you know? And the demigods were watching them as they went up. I think it's described later on. So if when they're going up out of the material universe, the devotees see some nice material planet, we think, oh, this is very nice. Then they get down. They have to get down. Just like when we go preaching sometimes, we go into a very rich man's house and we think, oh, this is very nice. You become attracted. You're caught. Right? So some people, they're attached to the ancestors, their lineage. So if at the time of death you think of that, you'll go there. And Krishna says, whoever thinks of me, they come to me. So one should be practiced to always think of Krishna. Now I'm not saying that there isn't some special advantage of leaving the body in Vrindavan or Sridhar Mayapur. Certainly, there is an advantage. But we should fix our life in such a way that we cannot but help think of Krishna. And then, you're right, it doesn't matter where you leave your body, because you'll go to Krishna. If you're engaged in cooking nice things for Krishna, making garlands for Krishna, if you're doing that for the pleasure of Krishna, then when you leave this body, you're going to do that in your next body also. With Krishna, for Krishna, for his pleasure. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Perfectly okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I want to know that how we can protect ourselves from all materialistic desires which comes in our mind.
How can we protect ourselves from our materialistic desires that come into our mind?
Yeah, which comes in our mind. What is the best way?
You know, the best protection is to chant the holy name purely. If you chant the holy name purely, then there's no material desires cannot touch you. You'll become impervious to material desires. You'll become completely callous to material desires. You look at material desires and think, ah. But then we're not on that platform of chanting purely. So sometimes we become overwhelmed by material desires. And they disturb us so much. Of course, some people think that material desires are the goal of life. What is life? Life means you just fulfill or try to fulfill one material desire after another, and that's what life is all about. If you want the latest pin or the latest watch or a fancy car, well, that's what's life about, is just collecting. There was a T-shirt once. It said that whoever has the most toys at the end of life wins. Whoever has the most toys at the end of life wins. That's what they think. You know? That's what life is about. Just collecting different things. Some people never wake up. The Vedic literatures are shouting at us, especially our acharyas, like the six Goswamis, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You read his songs. He's giving such perfect examples of what the materialistic consciousness is. And his songs are as though he's the most materialistic person. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Gopinath, the very first verse, he says, Mama Nivedana Suno, Gopinath, listen to my plea. Vishayi Durjana, I'm the lowest of sense gratifiers. Sada Kamarata, I'm always looking for sense gratification. Kichu Nehi Mora Gun. If you examine me, you'll find no good qualities. So by chanting Hare Krishna, if we chant purely, we'll come to this platform of realizing our actual fallen position, in our helplessness, in our hopelessness, and our total dependence on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then we're there, if we can do that.
But how we can chant purely if there is any materialistic desire in our mind?
Well, if we want to chant purely, there's one prescription, and that is to chant all the time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And just don't stop. Just keep going. That's the best way. We might not have so much taste, though, to just keep chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. Unfortunately. Our unfortunate position is that we have no taste. So, another way is, you can try to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivasadi, Gaur Bhaktivinoda. If you take shelter of them, and that's why before we chant Hare Krishna, we always chant Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. By their mercy, we can become free from offenses and be protected from our material desires. So those are two ways: to always chant Hare Krishna, take shelter of the Panchtattva. And the third way is to develop a service attitude, a proper service attitude. Without any expectation, you do something for the pleasure of Krishna. That will help us also become free from material desires. Offenseless in our chanting. Is that okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So during class you mentioned that staying in a temple for economic development is a serious offense.
I didn't say it was a serious offense. What I said is that it's a waste of time. It's a waste of your time. And you may come to devotional service for that in the beginning, but then you shouldn't stay on that platform. You should, you know, elevate yourself. And eventually it will become offensive. But not in the beginning. In the beginning, We may have various artojignashotoriki. We may be inquisitive, we may be desiring some wealth or be in distress. And that's all right. You come for the shelter of Krishna. But one shouldn't stay on that platform. One should elevate, one should recognize, just like Dhruva Maharaj recognized that I was looking for pieces of broken glass and now I have the diamond. He didn't want the kingdom anymore. So now that we've come to Krishna's temple, we shouldn't stay on that platform. We should know that there's a higher purpose and depend on Krishna.
But sometimes we see in our society itself, there are grihasthas who are staying in a temple. And for their economic development, leaving India, they go to abroad. They stay there, serve in a temple for a few days, and again they leave that.
What speak of grihasthas? We see brahmacharis doing that too. Anyway.
How to stop that? Because...
Well, there's always... In any war, there's always victims. There's always wounded soldiers. There's always casualties, right? So devotional service is like declaring war on Maya, right? So Maya is very powerful. And there's always going to be, she gets the stragglers and diverts them to something here and there. So Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada explains, that unless you become very sincere, then you will also become victim of Maya. We have to realize our weak position and depend on Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Chiman Bhagavatam Kijai, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Nitai Guru Premanandi.